I did have some familiarity with Gulliver's Travels before I sat down to read my way through it. My familiarity was based upon the fact that I studied it for O-level quite a long time ago. And my English teacher was very, very enthusiastic about it, actually. He was a rather wonderful teacher, and he loved to read aloud, and he did do all the names and the accents and all that. So I remembered all that, but to be honest, it was such a long time ago that really I needed to refresh myself by reading it to get a good sense of it. What I thought coming back to it after all these years was how much I noticed that if Swift were alive today and writing a book today, I don't think he would change his view much of humanity. And I rather agree with him, and I really enjoy the wonderful clarity with which he opposes what is deemed to be normal, civilized behaviour in 2010. What makes the book still live very much in the present is that while reading it, the satire brought to mind so many figures in public life in this country and around the world that what Swift was writing about, what he was criticizing, what he was opposing, still goes on and is still very easily attributable to our own politicians, our own lawyers, our own, you name it, all the things that he touches on. And also this idea that society is civilized. I think society is in terminal decline. And I find, it could be because I'm getting older and older and older, but I find that the world has changed immensely in a very short space of time. And the phrase going to hell in a handcart really comes to mind. I think that's my point, that I do sound like Swift does 300 years ago, and I think that's his point. That's what's so wonderful about this work of literature. That's why it lives. That's why it stands completely, absolutely, independently, then and now, as a brilliant exposé of human behaviour. I think the book is great fun, and I enjoyed reading it very much. Some parts of it made me laugh out loud that I actually had to stop recording. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't keep a straight face or a straight voice, as it were. I was also very privileged to have a wonderful producer listening to every word I reeled off, who has a great knowledge of the book itself and was able to shine a light upon parts of the satire that are perhaps more obscure because they refer very particularly to things that were happening in Swift's time. And it was lovely to hear him say, give me some reference, some background, so that I could, you know, we could just, we worked on just pointing up some of those things. But yes, the other thing I thought that was great fun about it was that while reading it, I never thought, it's as though Swift has gone on some wild, fantastic journey that might have been inspired by, you know, taking drugs. There's nothing of that about it, because there is this, as he emphasises all the way through, and particularly at the end, he emphasises the economy and the adherence to truth. And it has a remarkable quality about it, which I really do enjoy. I think it's a great strength. It's quite hard to put my finger on it, but I think it's a great strength and power of the piece that I never thought it was just pure fantasy. I believed it as I read it.
Gulliver's Travels into Several Remote Nations of the World, by Jonathan Swift, read by Jasper Britton.
The Publisher to the Reader. The author of these travels, Mr. Lemuel Gulliver, is my ancient and intimate friend. There is likewise some relation between us on the mother's side. About 3 years ago, Mr. Gulliver, growing weary of the concourse of curious people coming to him at his house in Redriff, made a small purchase of land with a convenient house near Newark, in Nottinghamshire, his native country, where he now lives retired, yet in good esteem among his neighbours. Although Mr. Gulliver was born in Nottinghamshire, where his father dwelt, yet I've heard him say his family came from Oxfordshire, to confirm which I have observed in the churchyard at Banbury in that county several tombs and monuments of the Gullivers. Before he quitted Redriff, he left the custody of the following papers in my hands, with the liberty to dispose of them as I should think fit. I've carefully perused them 3 times. The style is very plain and simple, and the only fault I find is that the author, after the manner of travellers, is a little too circumstantial. There is an air of truth apparent through the whole, and indeed the author was so distinguished for his veracity that it became a sort of proverb among his neighbours at Redriff when anyone affirmed a thing to say it was as true as if Mr. Gulliver had spoken it. By the advice of several worthy persons, to whom, with the author's permission, I communicated these papers, I now venture to send them into the world, hoping they may be, at least for some time, a better entertainment to our young noblemen than the common scribbles of politics and party. This volume would have been at least twice as large if I had not made bold to strike out innumerable passages relating to the winds and tides, as well as to the variations and bearings in the several voyages, together with the minute descriptions of the management of the ship in storms, in the style of sailors. Likewise, the account of longitudes and latitudes, wherein I have reason to apprehend that Mr. Gulliver may be a little dissatisfied. But I was resolved to fit the work as much as possible to the general capacity of readers. However, if my own ignorance in sea affairs shall have led me to commit some mistakes, I alone am answerable for them. And if any traveller hath a curiosity to see the whole work at large as it came from the hands of the author, I will be ready to gratify him. As for any further particulars relating to the author, the reader will receive satisfaction from the first pages of the book. Richard Simpson.